Well, we appreciate the Lord so much today. This service is a little time for us to remember some things. We know that this generally starts out over in John, the 13th chapter, where it talks about feet washing. And we'll turn there here in just a few minutes. But I want to think about first a little bit about what this service is. This part of the service is meant to mean to us. Jesus, we know that he was coming right up to the time of his crucifixion. We know that the time was very close at hand. And he had a few last things he wanted to say to the folks there. And one of the lessons that he wanted to teach us, and when we humble ourselves down and we wash feet, we are doing two things. I believe we're indicating humility. I think the Lord wanted them to get down on their knees and to do that lowest job. That's kind of one of the lowest, isn't it? Get down and wash someone's feet. That's getting on down there. You know, I think the Lord wanted us to do that. He wanted us to learn a lesson of humility, and I believe he wanted us to learn a lesson of service. And so I want to look first. Usually we talk more about service. I want to talk a little bit more about the humility side of this today. I just feel like the Lord inspired me with a few scriptures about it in Isaiah 66 and 2. You know, the Lord was so desirous of his disciples learning his ways and taking his pure gospel to the world the real meaning of it and all. And he knew that they were men, and they were men. they had their little troubles, but the Lord wanted them to know something. And Isaiah 66 and 2, it says, well, I'll start at 1. For thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Can you do anything big enough for me? It's all mine. But he says, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's what's important to God this morning. This afternoon, I'm sorry. That's important to God, that we have a humble, a contrite, a poor spirit. Poor is the opposite of rich, isn't it? You know, the word rich indicates something very different than the word poor. And he says here that our spirit, he said, I'll look to this man. Him that is of a poor spirit. He's humble. He's contrite. He doesn't have it all in himself. He doesn't think he's God. And he doesn't think he's God's gift to man. We're just one of the number, aren't we? And he said, I'll look to this man that's poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. If we want to know how to get a hold of God, when I get in trouble and I need the Lord, the scripture comes back to me so often. I know where he's at. He's when I humble myself and when I get real low before him. In James 4 and 10, now these are things the Lord would have liked for his disciples to know before they knew, but it seemed like they were pretty slow at catching on. In James 4 and 10 it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. And he goes on. But you know, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now that's different than in our own sight. We sometimes think we humble ourselves a little bit. But James told these folks here, he said, you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And in his presence, as well as in his view, in the way he sees you. I want to look over here a few other scriptures in Luke, the 9th chapter and the 43rd verse. And look at the context here a little bit of what the Lord was dealing with. Well, this here doesn't show that context, but it does here in a few minutes in another set of scriptures. In 9:43-50, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever receiveth me shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Do you know, this afternoon, we're going to have to be like little children in some ways. He said for us to be, in understanding, to be men. But he said in malice, in ill will, be like children. In holding grudges, and all those things, be like children. You know, we have to humble ourselves to this kind of life. Because when we don't, we defend our turf, don't we? In a very human way. And the Lord, and these fellows here, they were reasoning among them who was going to be the greatest among them. What a thing to do. I want to look on over in the same book. Now I want to notice this next set of scriptures here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting at the 20th verse. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Now tell me when this was. This was the Last Supper. Right there, when all this was taking place. And he said, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them. This was at the Last Supper. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. There's always some great man, always somebody that's got the, they're in the control of everything. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. And so I want to work from there a little bit and realize that the Lord said, I am among you as one that serveth. It was just so backwards to what these disciples just could get in their mind. And I believe that the Lord wanted real bad. He wanted them to get a hold of something. It's one of the last things he did was wash their feet. And he wanted them to know, I want you to be humble. I don't want you to be that way. There isn't going to be among you, it's not going to be that way. There's not going to be this great one and all these little ones. We're all brethren, aren't we? And God help us. I believe He wants us to remember this is the reason He wants us to keep doing it. So we want to turn now to John, the 13th chapter, and read here what the Lord did. I know most of the time we've talked more about service, and I believe that's what the Lord was talking about as one that serveth. He wants us to be not only humble, but He wants us to be as one that serveth. I think His people are servants to all men. I think when we take upon us the yoke of the Lord, we take upon us the fellowship of what He was and what He did. That's our life. That's what, when we drink of this cup in a little bit, we're drinking of that same burden that the Lord had. We're taking upon us the same life that He did. That it is not a life of promoting ourselves and becoming something or someone, but rather is so different than that, isn't it? And so now then we see what the Lord, what He does in their presence to try to bring, okay, folks, here is an example. And He said, I've given you an example in this. Here's an example of what I want you to be like, what I want you to do. So, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, this is 13:1 of John, now we're going to read through this for just a few minutes. When Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper. Now He knew who He was. He knew He was God in the flesh. He knew He was the Son of God. And yet, He rose from supper, it says, and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. That's why we do that. It's the way the Lord did it. And after that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. I always think when I'm washing feet, they're usually pretty clean. I doubt that was the case here. These folks didn't prepare for this. They were a little bit of a rough crew. They didn't just come from a hotel with a shower and all that. So I don't know what they were like, but I'm guessing He washed their feet, their dirty feet. And it says here, so Jesus bowed down and He did that, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Every one of them, He just went around and He did that. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You see, Jesus knew that His hour was come. He wanted us to know we're all part of this thing. We're all part of this. We're all part of the washing. We're all part of the taking. We're all part of the whole thing. And Simon Peter saith unto Him, Then when he understood, he saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? He asked them that question. You understand what I've done here? If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Folks, it takes a sacrifice to do that. The Lord wants us to do that on purpose. I'm not talking about washing feet here today. I'm talking about washing the feet of the saints and taking care of the unpleasant things that have to be taken care of many times when there's people. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Why did he go on and say that? Because we just read where they were in a strife about who was going to be the greatest at the Last Supper. They were there. It appears, as I understand it, to be at the Last Supper there. And he said, if you know these things, happy are you do them. The servant's not greater than his Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I had one more scripture with this. In Philippians, I believe it is chapter 2. It says, look not every man on his own things. Now that doesn't mean we don't take care of our own things, because it goes on to say, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know, humility came before that honor, didn't it? We're going to be honored to be with the Lord in heaven if we're faithful to the end. But I will tell you, as pride comes before a fall, so humility does before honor. And as we partake of this today, I just want us to think about what we're doing. We're to be humble people. We're to humble ourselves. When we find ourselves getting a little out of that place, we recognize it and we say, I can't go there. I'm a disciple of the Lord. I'm a servant. And that's as high as I'll ever get. And we humble ourselves. So let's, as we, the brothers over here in the west side and the sisters in the east side, and we partake of this ordinance, let's remember what it's about. In 1 Corinthians 11, we find where Paul wrote to the Corinthians concerning the ordinances. And he told them in the first verse there, second verse, he said, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. And we find, dropping on down, we find him beginning to talk about those ordinances. You know, the Lord, not only the feet washing, but this was another thing the Lord did right before he was crucified. This was very close to the crucifixion that he was doing these things. The Last Supper was part of that. And so it has great meaning. Excuse me. It has great meaning as well. In the 23rd verse, Paul writes there, 1 Corinthians 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I want to look at a couple, three things here. He said here, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he told them, he said, I want you to eat of this. This is my body, which is broken for you, which he certainly meant. This is in remembrance of my body. This is, you're partaking of what I am and what I'm doing. As we find over in, I think it's John the 6th chapter, he told them, except they drink his blood and eat his flesh, they couldn't be, you know, his disciples, or that's not an exact quote, but we find that he expected his disciples to take up their cross and follow him as well. And so we find here where he told them, told the Corinthians, Paul did, that Jesus said, as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me, that we do these things. And I was thinking back, the significance of this time was extreme. They held a Passover every year, and that was to remember something because they were bondmen in Egypt. And there was a time that these Israelites were in Egypt, and they were suffering greatly. Their children, their little boys were getting killed. Their men were getting beat. Their women were deprived of their children. All kinds of horrible things. And it makes me think of our world today when I look out and I see all the things that people are suffering today. They're being deprived of their children. And how? By all kinds of vices and drugs and afflictions of the flesh and things that they do. And so I want to look back for just a minute at what Moses told them that they should say. This is in Deuteronomy 6 and 20. And he told them here, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded and hath commanded you? You know, there comes a time that little children want to know, what is this all about? Why? Why do we do all of these things? Why are we different than the world? And these Israelites said, Moses told them, when your son asks you in time to come, when he says, What does all this stuff mean? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. You know, we have access, and I hope we all have happy homes and the blessings of the Lord upon us. And our children can hardly imagine. I've heard the testimonies of some here that came from the world, and I've heard what kind of things they endured when they were in their youth, and those kind of things, when they were in that place. You know, I have to think that they told them all about the sufferings that they went through, the land of Egypt, and what it was like. And then there was a time, finally, after all these miracles had happened and the Lord had been working with them to get them out of Egypt. And finally, there was a time came that Moses, the Lord told Moses, you're going to go now. And he said, I want you to take a lamb and I want you to kill it. And a lamb or a baby goat. And I want you to kill it, and I want you to put the blood over the top of the door and down the doorpost. And wherever that blood is found, he said, I want you to go in there and you stay in. You don't come out once that blood's on there. And you know, they were to be in that place. And he said, and the Lord told Moses that there was going to be an angel pass over the land that night. And you know, there was a death angel that came through all the land of Egypt. And every firstborn child and firstborn animal, am I right, was killed and was taken. Their life was taken, except those that had the blood applied. And you know, I can just hear them telling their children these stories and telling them these things. Do you know that was why the Passover was held? Because the angel passed over the houses that had the blood applied. And so, young folks and all of us, the Lord wants us to remember this. And He doesn't ever want us to forget that there's a reason we have this time too, where we remember that there was one that died for us. I know one sitting here that's told me a lot of their past and a lot of things that happened in their youth and the things that's hard to imagine. I didn't have to endure those things in my youth. But you know what? Then the Lord saved them and brought them out of that. We consider that like the land of Egypt. And so I want to finish that reading back there in Deuteronomy 6. And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded us. Well, we know that there's a new covenant now. There, and the Lord gave them a covenant there in the wilderness and on the mount. And the Lord gave to them commandments and covenanted with the children of Israel. And do you know that God has done that for us now? And there was a lamb that was slain, the same as back there. And that lamb had to be without spot. It couldn't be the refuse of the flock. It couldn't be the one that had a broken leg anyway. But there was none that could pay the price for our sins. We were in Egypt, a type of sin. And we were there. And we were subject to all the things that we see all around us. And we, our lives could have been just like their lives. But you know what? One passed over our house. And we know that, and I know that's typical of when the blood is upon our life, I believe the Lord's going to look over that, the sin that would have cost us eternal life. And so we want to look now and read, and when Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I want you to remember, I was the lamb that was slain. And I want you to remember that when you take eat of this bread, that you're taking part with my death and with my suffering, and you're casting your lot with me. So as we take part in this today, that's what we're doing. When we take a little part of that unleavened bread, unleavened, it's not puffed up with, it's not putrefied with sin and all. That's what that in part or mostly maybe signifies. And so we take that unleavened bread. It's not leavened with the sin of the world or with the malice of wickedness. And so we take upon us, I'm taking upon me the life of Christ. And when we drink that cup, that's signifying something, isn't it? Because God in heaven sent a lamb without spot and without blemish. And His blood was shed, and He suffered. And He suffered greatly that we could be saved. And so this is just done in remembrance of that this afternoon. And I hope as we partake of this that our heart can be lifted up in the Lord. That we partake of the things of the Lord. That we, when I take that and I drink that, I will tell you, I always think, I want to be a part, Lord. I want to be a partaker of what You, of Your cause, of what You are, of Your life, of Your death, of Your sufferings. I don't always think of all those things at one time, but you know, the Lord help us today. I want to read just a little bit more before we go on with this. In Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Now, you know, the Lord brought those Jews out of that land of bondage and sin and all of those terrible things happening there. And He brought them out and He made a covenant with them. And He made a covenant as an agreement. And so in the Hebrews 8 and 10, it says, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." That's our time. That's the Lord's time. "I'll make this covenant with them," He says, "saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest." You know what? We have to be taught about the principles of God, and we'll forever learn the ways of God. But do you know that when we're born, we automatically have a connection with the Lord? Every one of us, the least to the greatest, we already know the Lord to some degree. And we learn Him more and more. We learn of Him and learn His ways. And so as we partake of this, we want to remember we have a covenant with the Lord. We were bondmen, and we couldn't help ourselves. I want to tell you, I prayed with some folks that cried vehemently, "I want to be free." You know what? When you see that, you know they can be free. They can be free. There's a way. And so the Lord made that. We want to always remember we can be free because the Lamb that was slain. And so when we partake of this, let's remember those things. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily..." You know, if we have not had the blood applied, we're unworthy. If we can't forgive, if we hold bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, we shouldn't partake of this. We need the Lord to apply His blood to our heart. And so as we partake of this, to me it's a fearful thing. I want my heart to be clean. I want to know, can we be worthy? What do you mean be worthy? You think you're worthy? Yes. Because the blood of Jesus washed away my sins. That's why we're worthy. So do we feel like we've never made a mistake? We've never had to go back and say, "Lord, I'm sorry"? No, but I will tell you, let's keep up to date with our experiences. And as we go into this, let's do a little bit of examination here. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home." This isn't about eating for our hunger, is it? "That ye come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." And I just read a little bit more here in the 26th chapter of Matthew, where it's recorded what went on in that upper room. And we find the Lord here "And as they did eat," verse 21, "He said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." I want us to always keep in mind, I'd like for us to just remember, Jesus was betrayed. He shed innocent blood. He didn't do something to get on that cross. He shed his blood innocently for you and me. One betrayed him, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. So we want to do that today. And Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this, Lord. We ask you to bless this to our hearts, to our bodies, to our minds. Lord, we pray that you would bless this time, make it special in our lives. Help us, Lord, to ever revere that you have shed your blood for us and let your body be torn. Lord, they cast a spear into your side and crucified you. And Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you to help us today to be a partaker in Jesus' name. Amen. And then it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your blood that was spilt, that there could be blood over the doorpost of our heart. Lord, we thank you for the deliverance from sin and shame that you've given us. Lord, we hate to think what our lives would be like, all of us here, if we followed the flesh. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. We pray that you'd make us partakers with your cause and bless this today in Jesus' name. Amen.